vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Where do businesses in Kent go to do business? Supplymybusiness.co.uk. Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join today. Supplymybusiness.co.uk. ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 7th of February, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. That was the Pet Shop Boys, West End Girls.
Why are you speaking like that?
Because I've got man flu.
Yeah, and yeah. He's out of breath because he's just run out the room.
I'm telling you, try the blood oranges from Riverford. You should actually get a Riverford box delivered here, fruit box.
Why?
So you could munch your way through it instead of cakes. It would do you far more good.
Why?
It would do you far more. You could have cake after, but get your vitamin C in first.
Really?
Because that's the second bout of man flu you've had, actually.
Yeah, you sound like Bird going banging on about my vitamin C.
You need it with zinc, though. It doesn't work. Mark Bibby's just popped up, and he says that's Mark B underscore world pay. So thank you so much for my mention. Mm. And he's here to support any local businesses, making it easier to take payments and earn more. So I'm going to introduce him to all my farmers market people, because it's right up their street, isn't it, Annette?
Yeah, it certainly is. I'm a bit disappointed that Mark hasn't said hi to me on there, though, because I see him most weeks.
Oh.
And I've introduced him to my clients,
too.
So
well, how
we
rude.
Might want to take that back down off the Twitter.
Yeah,
what do you think?
We'll delete that.
Yeah, okay.
And Victoria Jones, thanks for the mention, Paul. Loving the show today. And she is Hesketh underscore, oh, no underscore, Hesketh Jones ED. Because I don't have to wear glasses.
I know, but did you see the other message that Victoria sent you? Sent to you.
Go no on. Wine when proofreading, Jules Serkin. Go cross-eyed, miss everything. Yeah. Big glass after, though. Well, that's you, Victoria, but I'm very good at proofreading when I've had wine, I find. I find I'm better. Actually.
I can do most things really well after wine.
Exactly. Yeah. I can speak any language.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm fluent in Spanish, French, Japanese. Do you want to grow your income in 2017?
Hold on. Have you seen the tweet from Andrea Barker?
No, tell me.
A picture of a toilet with a pug in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a Japanese toilet, you see.
Oh, is it?
Having a wash.
Right, okay.
Because she was saying the toilet I said about Singapore, and she said in Japan they're lovely, because they have those ones that wash and dry you, don't they?
Do they?
Yeah, the Japanese toilet. Yeah, you can get them over here. They're about, I was looking into them. I thought it'd be quite good for my new husband, because his toilet habits are...
I've just seen a tweet from Hacks. He asked this quite a few minutes ago. Well, I've just seen the tweet, obviously, about...
I think he's a cough sweet when you keep mentioning Hacks.
Mm. But he said, what was the one thing you took away from the Video Impact Summit? And there was a lady, and forgive me, because I can't remember her name. It was something like Desiree, and she was a TV producer. And she was talking about not scripting, which is a subject dear to my heart.
Oh, and me.
And she said, don't script things. If you script things, they sound appalling. You've got to go with your passion and belief.
This is why I left a certain radio station, because they were heavily, heavily scripting. It wasn't BBC. It was another one. Heavily scripting me and making me say, and I'd say, but I would never say that. And it just sounded really wooden. And I had to flounce off.
So as you do.
I gave my new husband the gig there, because it doesn't matter for him. His show can be scripted, but it's a very different type of show.
Yeah.
But I agree with her, and I think passion will come through always. Yeah, I agree with you, Hacks.
Cool. A blast. Probably the best business networking event in Kent, they say. A blast business networking is one of a kind. It's energetic and dynamic. It's an annual event. And it's brought to you by business support charity, the Kent Foundation, to celebrate business in Kent. This year, the event will be held in the stunning Maidstone TV Studios, which are the UK's largest independent live TV studio. And they're based on the outskirts of Maidstone, at Bearside there, Vincent's Park. This once-a-year event is not one to miss. So book your place to meet new people, network, start a conversation and collaborate. We guarantee you will be leaving the evening with a buzz and newfound motivation. It takes place on Tuesday the 14th of March from 5.30 until 7.30 at the Maidstone TV studios. And to book your place, go to eventbrite.co.uk/ablast. I went to that last year.
Was it a blast?
It was. Did you never see the photographs of me with those two young ladies?
Oh, well, I see quite a lot of photographs with you. But women in business, right? An event for business. Who's there? Paul Andrews in the middle. What about the Stopwatch Hospitality? I can remember that, you surrounded by women in hot pants.
The ladies from Spearmint Rhino.
Yeah, hot pants nowadays are not like even pants, are they, really?
Well, they were, yeah.
They're more like a little floss. Really.
I was happy.
Yeah, you were very happy. So don't ask me if I've seen a picture of you surrounded by women, because there's just too many.
It was from last year's blast.
Okay.
And it was two ladies that I met there.
What are you sucking at the moment?
A tune.
Are you? Mm. Okay. Can I continue with what I was reading for you?
Interrupt
me. While you continue with your tune sucking, do you want to grow your income in 2017? Now, this is one I've just read about the Spitfire Ground. I'm not reading that again, but it is Wednesday, the 22nd of March.
There is two. One in the morning and one in the evening.
Okay, well, I will then.
Yeah.
There are two, don't you mean?
What did I say?
You said there is two. Do you want to grow your income in 2017? Then don't miss this exciting and dynamic Free Growth Accelerator Conference. It's a day packed full of powerful, brilliant and relevant business content. It's all aimed at increasing your income in 2017, including great speakers and how-to seminars and over 60 exhibitors. Your writer is different. You're so wise. Paul Andrews, Wednesday 22nd of March, 9 till 4, at the Spitfire Ground, St Lawrence in Canterbury. Please go to businesseventsuk.com, Grow Kent Business Show.
Cool. Thank you for that. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome back. We've missed her. She hasn't been here since last year.
No, not since December.
December. It's ages ago. Welcome back, Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting. Hello, Nettie. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. You?
I'm well, thank you. How have you been?
I've been well. Listening to you two, though, just makes me laugh every time. And it's a long time since I've been in the studio with Jules.
Mm. Wow, we don't know what we do. People say this. They go, oh, you and Bunker.
Yeah, but I don't mean it nicely. They go, no, you make me laugh.
I didn't mean it nicely.
Just makes me laugh. Call this a business show.
But we don't know what we do.
Yeah. No.
Talk about toilets, mostly.
Yeah. It's a little unusual. No, but things are good. Obviously, tax return deadline day was last Tuesday.
Yeah, that's always good for a laugh, isn't it?
Highlight of an accounting year. Mm. But no, apart from that, just busy. January has been busy. Everything's busy as usual, and that's the way I like it.
Right.
And I've brought a very special guest with me today, but we'll talk about him in a minute.
Yeah, we will.
Should we talk a bit more about us first?
Yeah, I would if I were you, Nettie. Yeah.
There is a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Well, one is Kiba. We've not mentioned Kiba yet today.
Kiba.
No, we haven't.
Rift is one of the sponsors.
You know
of Kiba.
Why? You know why we haven't mentioned Kiba?
Why? Because I was going to.
Because you were going to do it.
Hey, and I'm doing it. The Kent Excellence in Business Awards 2017. Mm-hmm. Applications have got to be in by the 24th of February, and there is always a massive gala dinner. Usually at the Declan Showground, and this year it's on the 22nd of June.
It's a great venue, by
it's
the way.
It's a fabulous venue, and it's always a great night. But it's just there's so many great categories, and it really does encompass just about anyone or anything in business in Kent.
It is, being serious for a moment, it's a big event, isn't it? It's massive. Probably the biggest award event in Kent.
The biggest of them all.
And it is a biggie, and there are lots of different categories.
There really are. And it's free to enter. Yeah. You know, and it can give so much profile to a business. So you must be registered in Kent. The business must be registered
in Kent. I just want to interject there, because even if you don't win, it still gives you profile.
Absolutely. Mm. And it also means if you're shortlisted, the judges are going to come out to your premises, they're going to look around what you're doing, etc. So, I mean, there's all sorts of ones, and I'll tweet in a moment and put the website up. But it's really whether you're a large business, a startup, a manufacturer, a construction project, employer of the year, customer service award, you know, the entrepreneur of the year, the young entrepreneur, an apprenticeship award. There's so many different categories that can, you know, really work with any business of any shape or size. And I would just encourage people to look at it. And it does also work in conjunction with the Chamber Awards, I believe. I think if you do one, I think if you enter the Chamber Awards, you automatically also get a look in at Kiba. So seriously,
that is true.
Have a look at it.
Yeah.
I didn't just make that up, did I? That was
no, you
true.
Didn't.
I was
it
almost doubting myself
true.
As I said it, but no, I was pretty true. Sure it's true. So I think it's the ninth year, so next year will be a massive, the first decade done. Mm. But Riff won it 2 years ago before we used to sponsor. Now we're a sponsor we can't enter. But we won the Customer Service Award for Kent, and we were really, really pleased. But the profile, it's still on our signatures. It helped us get on with, you know, the service mark and all the rest of it. So I really would encourage businesses to do it.
Do you know who won the very first one?
Was it you?
Oh, yeah.
Hey!
It was. Oh, yeah.
So sometimes any business can get through in Kent.
Did you see what she did there?
So it really is worth anyone applying.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be shy.
Oh, don't be shy. But no, I would encourage it, and we'll put it up on the old Twitter in a bit because I think it would be good.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic event. Do go in for it. It is very worthwhile. In general, going in for business awards is good PR. Mm. It is good PR. So do that.
Yeah.
So how's things apart from that, Nettie?
Things apart from that are very good. Exciting new year.
Yeah. And you have done your normal, haven't you? You've rocked up with a very interesting guest for us to talk to.
Well, do you know what? I pride myself on my guests, as you know.
I know you do.
I really do. And I have so many very interesting clients.
Oh, I see.
Careful. We're trying to get this show out of the toilet, remember?
True.
Into the business world. So, I do have a lot of interesting clients. And I've wanted to bring Mark onto the radio for a while, but... Mark was always in Croydon, but he moved to Kent 2 weeks
just to be
ago.
On the Business Bunker Show.
Moved to Kent. London, but yeah.
London.
Yeah.
London.
Wapping area. Yeah.
Wapping. Yeah. Is it not Croydon where I went to see? I went somewhere in London-ish way.
Well, Wapping and Croydon, Annette, are completely different areas.
Yeah,
come
it's on. All
they're
the
north
same.
North of here, aren't
it's all the same, though, isn't it? Come on. Now, hold on, Mark. So where were you?
So I used to live in Wapping.
Right.
That's
just
quite
moved
cool.
to Birchington in Kent.
Oh, Birchington.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, we'll come down
to
you
there.
I've
literally got the keys
I
last
love
week.
Birchington.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
the sea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm now a Kent boy, so that's cool. Right. And the office is based in South Bermondsey. So the other side of
Bermondsey
the Thames.
Boy.
Right. Okay.
Of Wapping.
And that's obviously where I thought
no
I was
near
when
Croydon.
I was in Croydon. Anyway, I went on a train.
Oh, well, there you go. That's near enough, isn't it?
And this is obviously
public transport
Mark,
for you.
Yeah, I know. This is obviously why Mark normally comes to me, because obviously I get lost for days. But we've worked, Rift has worked with Mark for the last 3 years, must be. Initially just for the research and development side, but now also for the accounting side. And we'll sort of pick the story up together, I suppose, really. I'll let Mark talk about his Rift adventure, but more excitedly, actually, the products he's doing and how we've worked with him.
Very, very sexy products. I'm dying.
It's a shame we haven't got television, really, right now.
But I can video him. But I'm also a little bit upset. I seem to have eaten my cake in it without realising
you
I
said
ate
you
it.
Were going to have that at the end
I know,
of the show.
It's gone.
It's obviously.
I don't remember eating it.
Do you know what happened? She didn't interrupt me, did she?
Absolutely. That's why.
I'm going to Periscope, Mark, while you chat.
But anyway, Mark. Over to you. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome to the Business Bunker Show, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, and can I say thank you to Nettie as well and Rift, but get that plug in. But the for a small business that's involved in design, the R&D tax credits are super helpful.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
A lot of people aren't aware of them. So I think that's...
It's an interesting thing. Let's just explore that for a moment. You might like, as a recipient of this, because the problem is for people that are helping you get R&D tax credits, everybody goes, yeah, you can get me free money, whatever, and ignores you. But you, like me, have actually used them to do this,
Every year.
You know that it works.
Yep.
Just give us a very quick overview of what's involved here.
So you just have to, Rift are great, they do a lot of the work for you. So you explain them the story of your last year, what you did, you know, what they considered development, what wasn't R&D, and what, you know, what could be claimable. And they do all the legwork, basically. It's great. I just tell them what I was up to, show them pictures, as we develop the products, you know, a little description on what was done, and they sieve through it. They look at the invoices for, you know, any external freelancers that we may have used, materials that we may have brought, prototyping, equipment that we might have used or purchased. They go through all those invoices, and with the, you know, with the story of what we did in the development, come up with a number, and run it past HMRC. And if they approve it, then we get the we can get that either as a, I think it's a tax offset.
Yeah, or cash.
Mm-hmm. And as I said, that's, you know, when you're starting out, anything
is,
and it's a decent amount, you know, if you're developing. And it's a great system because this year now we've had it, we've done it for the last 2 years. We're now factoring that into our business plan. So it's encouraging us to develop. Yeah. So it sort of, you know, worked really well.
And that is the point of the whole R&D scheme. I saw a statistic. I saw one of those as well.
Tunes in your mouth. Yeah. That's
I saw a statistic the other day that the government reckon for every £1 million they return in R&D tax credits, they make £4 million.
Mm. Yeah, not surprised.
Yeah.
And it's still such an untapped market.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell us just the kind of businesses that can apply? Because it's not just any business, is it?
Well, it's any business, really, that is developing or changing something. If your competitor would like to buy what you're developing, the chances are it's R&D.
Yeah.
If it's not on the shelf. Now, that's not going to be for everything and everyone, and that's quite a bold statement to make. Mm. But at the same time, we would rather talk to people and understand what they're doing so that we can advise them whether or not it fits in or not. That's the answer at the end of the day. Because then there's other elements to bear in mind. You know, it could be that it's relevant for, you know, you can claim on it if you spend it in this direction, but if you spent your money over here, it wouldn't be judged as R&D, or you may get a grant or something like that. And it's really important that you put that money aside to do something with it instead of maybe for the development. So there's all these sort of other bits and pieces that we can help businesses to understand how to make the most of their money. And that's the sort of thing we would do with Mark and with other clients. And then working with you on your accounts as well, the two marry up
really
together.
Well together.
Yeah. So the accountant and the R&D specialist are walking distance from each other and can say, right, what does this, where's that, what does this fit in? And then Mark just says, yes, no, that's what we did, et cetera, et cetera.
That sounds thrilling. And the initial assessment is free with you guys?
Yep.
Okay.
And then we can talk it through. And then the claim, like Mark quite rightly said, it either comes off your corporation tax bill, or it can be cash if you either have got more of a refund than the bill, or if actually, you know, you haven't made any money at all and you need the cash.
Funnily enough, I've just had a tweet here from Venomtech.
Yep.
And I go, Business Bunker, Paul, we're really enjoying the Business Bunker as usual. Please could you give us a shout out? Our patent, for safe snake feeding device has now been granted.
Hey.
So well done, guys.
They've safe got snake feeding advice.
Love that.
Device. Wow. So they've got a patent on a safe snake feeding device.
These are the people who keep spiders in boxes.
Yeah,
they?
Absolutely. And snakes.
Venom,
and venom.
Could you imagine if a prototype didn't work and you were doing that?
yeah, exactly. That'll be
you'd have
damn. Damn.
So I think, Mark, you should tell us about what you've developed, because this is exciting.
And hold them up, because I'm videoing, I'm periscoping.
Well, shall I? I was driving,
demonstrate.
Trying to think what, try to explain what VR is, or virtual reality.
Yeah. Start as if we're complete idiots.
Give it a go.
Because I could talk like the technical side, and I think that might be a bit boring. So
do
I was
it
just,
how we can understand.
So
because
yeah,
you're clever.
I said,
don't do it in a geeky way.
They let me out. Normally, I'm in the shed working away, so I'm out in the daylight, which is unusual. So I think, say you had a friend that was in. It's a bit bleak, but I think it's a good way to. So you had a friend who was in hospital and they were unwell or something, and they were bedbound, you know, and they were stuck in the same place. You know, not seeing outside, not seeing maybe family, quite isolated, and maybe getting a little bit depressed. Imagine if you could buy them something that would, you know, help their morale, help them cheer them up.
Not grapes, then.
Something slightly better than grapes. Okay. So yeah, you know, there's lots of things you can do. You can read, you can watch, you know, but after a while, maybe, you know, you need something else. You miss the sun, you miss the, you know, seeing outside. So imagine if you could give somebody a device that they could put on, and all of a sudden they could see the horizon, see the beach, maybe see a birthday that they missed, you know. Imagine if they, you know, something like that. And basically that's, in a nutshell, what virtual reality can give you. So you can put this thing on your head and be transported to a different environment, a different place. And I think, you know, that's That's quite a powerful, you know, so quite a powerful thing to give to somebody. I think, and I should have checked this before I left. I think VR initially was developed in submarines.
A long time ago.
So imagine that environment.
The claustrophobia.
You're in the, this.
All
this,
that water above you.
Yeah, mentally that's incredibly scary. But then also, physically you're in these tight corridors. So. Yeah. I think they designed VR initially to prevent people sort of losing their minds in that situation, and created an artificial environment. We as humans, I think it's natural for us to see the horizon.
We need green.
See space.
Yeah.
And I think why virtual reality has suddenly, because it was about 20 years ago, Lawnmower Man and things like that. So it's not new.
So like who's Lawnmower Man?
Oh, it was a movie back in the 80s.
Okay.
Big famous tech.
Do you know this, Paul Andrews?
Sci-fi movie.
I need to go out more.
So it's nothing, it's like a lot of technologies. It's nothing actually that new about the concept. It's just come back into fashion. A company called Oculus that you may have heard in the news about 4 years ago kickstarted VR and got everyone sort of excited about it. I think they raised over $1 million in Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And broke the record on that. And that's how we started this, basically. We saw that. And virtual reality is this tool that you can put it on your head and be somewhere else. And I think as we live in cities and get more, squeezed into smaller and smaller places, we probably are suffering maybe a bit more sometimes with, not seeing the sun in the winter months and things like that. Virtual reality can enable you to experience artificially some of those environments.
Okay.
So talk us through one of these. You've got three things in front of you. Talk us through the first one.
I wanted to just basically explain the time frame and the development that goes into a product. I mean, we're a UK business and we're in the virtual reality game, which is mostly sort of San Francisco, American, you hear about those companies. So we're this little London company trying to compete with these big players. I mean, our competitors are Samsung and Google and so we're trying.
And other small businesses.
Yeah, so we're trying to sort of battle against those guys and get a name and carve out our own sort of piece of that. And this was the prototype that we came up with that we actually were commissioned to do. Before I started this business, I have another company that's a product design company,
right.
And that's my background. And this was actually a commission. So this is May 2013. We called it the Claw for obvious reasons. And this is 3D printed. And this was a commission from one of the directors now of the business, who we didn't know at the time, who asked us to design a headset to fit his phone. We spent about twice as much time than we got paid for, just because we found it sort of really interesting. Made this prototype, it came out, we got lenses, the off-the-shelf lenses, worked out all the maths of all the distances and everything like that, and printed it and tried it, and it worked. And we were like...
And you were shocked.
And we were a little bit shocked. Sounds bad. Normally prototypes don't do that. They don't normally work first time. Or they didn't, we didn't really expect the experience to be quite so good.
Yeah.
And it is a really basic system. It's two lenses, a screen, and you're tricking your any 3D sort of device. You're tricking your brain to think you're looking at a 3D environment.
Yeah.
And that was May 2013. And we basically got this prototype. Said to the guy that did the commission, that asked us to do the commission, Jonathan, this is really cool. Do you want to start a company? Like, do you want to see where this leads? Because we could tell that this is on the horizon. Mm. VR is going to be emerging. It was still very niche. And he said, sure. So we developed it a little bit further. Then we did two pitches. The first one was really Dragon's Den style, and it was a bit intimidating. The second one was a lot more casual. And we got it. We got our funding.
Wow.
So
how did that feel?
at the time, it was really exciting. I think because product design is the thing I know.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that the sort of three phases of the business, the development of the product, sales and marketing, and then trying to grow the company, which is where we are sort of now. I knew the first bit because I'm a product designer, I've done it for like 10 years. I sort of got that bit. The rest, I sort of thought, we'll figure that bit out. How hard can it be? We'll be, you know, I kind of thought we'll be first to market. We're making something that there's a demand for. You know, we can turn it around quite quickly because we're a little business, and we've got a pretty clear direction. We've got the money. Let's just make it, figure out pretty much all the other bits after that. And that was, this is, what's the date on this one? July 2014.
You're like a professor, Mark. I still don't understand, as a layman, when you said it's for his mobile phone.
Yeah, okay, so I can explain now with the final version. So. Yeah. 2 years after our initial prototype, we have the FreeFly, which is the name of the headset.
That's the sexy looking one.
And the brand. And the goal was to produce one headset that can fit all the different sizes of phones out there. As a designer, you know, I've done lots and lots of projects. I've never known one harder than this. Right. Because during the last 4 years that we've been working on it, phone technology has changed so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy.
It's catch up all the time.
Yeah, there's, you know, phones get smaller, they get bigger, the resolution's changed, ports are in different places. So it was a very, very hard product to design for, because every time we got so far, we'd, you know, look at the news and someone release a new phone and we're like, oh. So we basically tried to design one product that will fit all the different phones out there. And that's kind of like the why it's the way that it looks. It has these two wings, and they're synchronized with a gear in the middle. And it simply accepts loads of different phones. You've got these little blocks that you can move so that you can have access to your ports on your phone or bigger phones. And as you can see, that could take a pretty big phone, and then it will shrink down, and you can fit in, you know, like an iPhone 6. So that's the design. And then I can just turn on my phone and show you.
Your guys have just started tweeting, by the way.
You must have them up. Yeah.
You must have whipped them now into shape. Yeah.
So I'm just going to load up an app.
I'm getting lots of hearts on the Periscope, lots of likes.
And it's always the way. It's going to take a little while to load. So that's just loading. And that's just an app. So App Store, search for that. When we started this out, there was one app. So
have you developed your own app, or will you do that?
So, So along the way of having some money and trying to build a business, we also tried to develop an app and found out that's incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
And the whole journey has been trying to figure out what kind of business that we are, and you sort of start off trying to take on everything, and then slowly you sort of work out, we should do this, we're really good at it. Mm. If there's things like app development, let's
give
work with other
app
companies. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do now. So we say we are a hardware company, and we produce this product and associated products. And this just shows you how it works. So the phone's in. There's things called virtual beach. So it's a 3D model of a beach. Two screens. You close the device, and you put it on your head. And if anyone wants to have a go,
and then you're watching.
So you're, you know, the whole idea to this product is, it's the word that you hear a lot with virtual reality is immersion. So you're trying to block all the light. Ideally, you want a pair of noise cancelling headphones. You put that on, and you know, the idea is that you're not distracted by anything else in the room. So you could be sitting in a busy, you know, station in London, really noisy. You're on the train and you're really tired. You can put on a pair of noise cancelling headphones and sort of isolate that part of your senses. But then you could also stick on this headset and chill out and, you know, be somewhere completely different.
You can also not just chill out. I've had a play on the roller coaster. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah. So you get on there, and I hate roller coasters, but you find your head moving all over the place. You find yourself ducking, rolling around, making yourself look quite stupid if somebody was watching you, not realising what you're doing.
You could get quite queasy, couldn't you, on it?
Yeah.
As well, if it were on a roller coaster.
Mm.
So I'm just doing it now, Mark, and it's giving me... Are there instructions there?
You might want to... If you turn around, because sometimes when I set it up, it's facing me, so there you go.
Okay, I'm with you, yeah. So now I'm looking... Oh, I'm looking at a beautiful beach.
Yeah, so you can go through that menu and...
Wow.
you said you were going to go on holiday.
Yeah.
So a good sort of product to go with this is a 360 camera, mm-hmm. and you're seeing those more and more now in high streets. And you do sort of think, well, what can I kind of do with... What can I use that for? And just imagine, you know, a really lovely holiday. Take your 360 camera with you, record a load of things. You can then, you know, go back and relive some of those memories, and maybe even spot something that you never saw in the first time. I think it's important to point out, I think, with this that we are kind of at the start. Mm. It's like any technology. It's, you know, we're at the slightly clunky stage. But if you could only see it from my perspective and how in such a short period of time, phones have got in so much faster, so much more powerful. And I think it's in the next few years, I think, you know, by 10 years, virtual reality is going to be a media like anything else. I'm pretty convinced about that.
You know where I see this going mad, Japan, the Japanese kids.
They
love that whole comic thing, you know, the comic books of Japan and things. This sort of thing is just completely
anime.
Japanese.
Another thing I can see this working for, because I've always got a sad, boring business head on. Imagine going to, I don't know, have a new bathroom or a new kitchen, and giving your measurements and getting that as your app that arrives, instead of getting all this pile of paper and looking at your carbon footprint and all of that. I can see that coming through on an app.
I think from a business point of view, before you spend money on things, you can simulate it.
Yeah.
So say you're like, you know, trying to use a new tool, a new piece of equipment. You can practice for as many hours as you like. Mm. And it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
So then the second you do use the expensive piece of equipment that might damage if you break it, you're experienced.
And it also depends on how you use it. We've had two tweets in from each end of the spectrum.
Oh, no.
One is from Victoria Jones, and she said, Business Bunker, awesome. She said, and there's a great video on YouTube showing how to use virtual reality with dementia patients.
Wow.
Yeah,
which is really good. Yeah. And then just to offset that, we've had Chris, Chris Hyde from Chameleogenics, and he says, VanillaWeb, I got a VR headset for Christmas. I was so nauseous after a car race, I had to lay down for 2 hours.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
That's your age, Chris.
It would make me a bit grim.
It's like anything. You get, you know, it's for some people. Sometimes people get seasick and some people don't. You do get, the more you use it, you do sort of relax a little bit.
To be fair to Chris, he has gone on to say, Chris specializes in change and problems management. And he says, I see loads of applications for virtual reality in change projects so people can visualize a new workspace and stuff like that. Cool. As long as you lay down afterwards, Chris, obviously.
I think the thing, though, for hospital patients, it would be, imagine if you've had a real, you know, sort of trauma and you're bedridden. I mean, I was bedridden a long, long time ago when I was a kid. I missed a year off school.
She recovered, though, sadly.
I missed a year off school. And, that would be, I was climbing the walls. Yeah. So that would be great, that sort of thing.
I think it's like, you relive in things. The camera, the 360 camera is something to try out as well. Imagine you're not there for a birthday or an important event.
Sure.
And then you can, rather than looking at a picture, which is great, or seeing something on your phone, it's great. But putting a headset on and actually feeling like you're there, it's pretty interesting.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
There's a weird thing when you think about the memories that you have of VR. Is VR real? That's like one of the questions that's been discussed.
Well, now you're
quite
getting
a bit
quite
now.
Spooky, aren't you?
Know,
really?
It's gone a bit deeper.
It's getting all geeky now.
Could you? This may be silly because I haven't talked to you pre-show, but could you people video family occasions and then you would look at it as if you were there?
Yeah.
So that would be
like a selfie stick with your 360 camera to get a good perspective,
right?
Or you could hold it.
And so you'd make it into an experience that they could watch?
Yeah.
Or you could?
Yeah. 360 cameras are great because they're geared up for it. They have a camera on the front and a camera on the back, and they're 180. So they automatically stitch it all together, and you haven't got to do anything. You can sort of convert some of your photos and things like that into 360. You know, you have like a function to sort of take wider shots and large shots. You can do that, and it works pretty well. There's something called Google Camera. A cardboard camera, by Google. Mm-hmm. That's a really good app. And that's actually, thinking about it, that's a really good one to try. So maybe next time you're on holiday, just try that. And then
it's not a holiday. I do work when I'm out in Africa, you know.
Then
I tack a holiday on at the end. Quite clever.
We just finish up on that. Heath and Hub have tweeted in and said, we got money back from R&D via Rift Accounting.
Good.
And we installed bespoke heating systems and combined heat sources. So thank you for that. Mark, we could talk about this forever. Virtual reality is a thing, mm-hmm. and it's a thing that's going big at the moment. So fair play to you. So what are your plans as a business?
So like I said, we're at stage two after making the product, because as I said, I thought we were there. Stage two was figuring out sales and marketing. I thought you just throw together a website and you just,
and they'll find you. Yeah.
And they'll find you, exactly. They're just searching. Everyone's searching for VR and virtual reality and so all that isn't true. You have to work really hard at that. Yeah. We sell the product all around the world. So trying to get the logistics side of things sorted out so that your warehouse can cover, Europe, your warehouse can cover America and Asia and all that. And that all works through a website securely. Getting into places like Amazon.com is our biggest, our best sort of...
So you're on there now.
Yeah, we're on there. And that's been by far the most successful sort of outlet for us. But we're another retailers... and because none of us came from sales, understanding retailers, how wholesale works, you can't really predict how your direct sales are going to go versus larger sales. So it's just been sort of one and a half years of that process. We now have a really good idea of who we are as a brand, because that's changed throughout. Mm. One thing I was just going to say is that it makes this project even harder, this business even harder, is that we're not just trying to sell a product. We're trying to educate someone what the product does. Yeah. If we were selling a torch or something, everyone knows what that is. So you can make a really cool video and make it really nice and slick. But we have to kind of explain to someone why they'd buy this thing and try to sort of persuade them to buy it. So it's very hard.
I have great empathy with you on that. I launched my main business, which is an internet business, before anybody had the internet. And trying to explain what the internet was to people that didn't really want to know was... The internet, what?
The World Wide Web.
That won't catch on.
They go, no, I've got a newspaper here. I don't need that. So I do sympathise with you.
What I love as well about this whole story is Mark is very modest about it, but he's done that real journey that I'm always talking about. And how many conversations have you and I had over the years about the fact that businesses evolve, they keep changing.
Absolutely,
they
do.
They keep having to go back to the drawing board. And I'm always telling you, Mark, it's normal.
It's normal to feel this way.
Yeah.
It's normal to feel this way.
But it is, unfortunately.
But it's better to do this, because if people have a very rigid idea about what their business is going to do, if you'd have stuck to your original plans and whatever, it wouldn't look like this.
Yeah, it's really tough, because you can have a plan. And
that's good.
And you should. But that's in. I think that's a lot easier to do in proven industries that are, established industries where you know things and they're not constantly changing. Mm. But we've found it to be so dynamic, and where things didn't work, they did, and vice versa. So now, like I said, even our brand and how we. What we thought worked is very different now to what works.
Yeah,
and if you just have a rigid plan and you don't change, then you're not gonna last, I don't think.
Yeah. We could talk about this for a long, long time. Okay. Sadly, we've run out of time. So, Mark, if people want to get hold of you, how can they do that?
Just Google FreeFly VR.
Okay. That's it. There's a link to the website on the Kent Business Radio website, so do feel free to go there and to click on the link to Mark. Mark, thank you so much for that. A fascinating subject, virtual reality. All power to you. We wish you much and continued success with what you're doing.
Thank you.
And keep on keeping on.
And we had 67 live viewers there on the Periscope watching you, darling. And also Laura, of course.
How many in VR?
That will be that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that will be the
I've got thing. A picture of Chris Hyde in his VR kit.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have a look.
I've had a tweet from Alex Waterson of FKeys. Who says, listening in today, greetings to all. Please get in touch if you want to maximise your Office 365 skills. So do get in touch with Alex. He's brilliant.
He is. He can teach even me things.
He can. That's brilliant. Alex Waterton on the Twitter, or F Keys, or you can call him on Medway 01634 512345. That's Medway 01634 512345. We're fast running out of time here, Jules.
There's a Faversham Business Partnership. It's a Meet the Buyer event. It's very exciting, this. It's on tonight. Tuesday the 7th of March. That's today, isn't
it? No, it's the 7th of February today. It's next
month. Oh, sorry. Oh, where am I? Okay, so it's Meet the Buyer Day, Tuesday the 7th of March, not February, and it's 9 to 3 at the Alexander Centre in Preston Street, which is 15 to 17 Preston Street, Faversham. The sat-nav, if you're going, is ME138NZ. And they're saying, Faversham, we are open for business. Owing to the success of the last Meet the Bar event in November, we'll be holding more, and the first one will be Tuesday the 7th of March. It proved so popular with businesses in November, we're hoping to make this one even better, they say. Spaces will be limited at a great price of £25 a stand for a FBP member or £55 for a non-member. So this is a great opportunity to showcase your business in Faversham. Let's have a look. So you can contact, email is Debs, D-E-B-S, at faversham.org. And the phone number is 01-795-539-339. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Faversham, B for Bertie, B, P for Peter. They're also on Facebook, which is Fav Business. So get along there for March, Tuesday, March the 7th.
Thank you. The next digital in Kent, stay ahead in the digital world. The ninth in the highly successful series of conferences, Digital in Kent offers expert speakers, cutting-edge content and lively discussions. Avoid wasting time and money, master social media and digital marketing with the experts. And one of those experts is our good friend Ken Herron, the radio presenter from over there in the United States.
Yeah.
And he's going to be presenting at Digital in Kent. It's taking place at the Spitfire Ground on the 22nd of March, Canterbury. That's the county cricket ground. I've had a tweet, I've had an email actually from the lovely Debbie Cameron of Fields for Life, the charity. And she's announced a groundbreaking charitable initiative from Peter Vardy. Peter Vardy are car dealers, and they are going to support 5,000 vulnerable children in East Africa. Every car that's purchased or serviced in 2017 will trigger a donation. They're a fast-growing retail group, and throughout 2017, the Peter Vardy Foundation, the group's charitable arm, will contribute £15 on each customer's behalf for every car sold and up to £5 for every car serviced to its newly launched Giving Back campaign. OneChild.co.uk is the organisation, which will be applied to feeding, clothing and educating one child for 1 month. So that's what the money's going to. If you want to find out more about this, go to their website, which is PeterVardy.com, or the charity is fieldsoflife.org.
I've read all mine.
Good. I've got one more, and then we're going to do the FSB News update. It's the Seven Oaks Town Partnership, and they invite you on the 28th of April from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. to the Stag Plaza in London Road, Seven Oaks, for the business networking presentation and exhibition. It's free entry. The first 100 visitors to rock up get a free goodie bag too.
Ooh.
Woohoo!
Ooh.
You can find out more about it and book your place if you wish by emailing admin.tp@sevenoakstown.gov.uk.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's now that time in the show where we do the Federation of Small Business News Roundup. And I want to kick off with a couple of events that they've got going on. We have a cyber crime information workshop in Canterbury with JJ Systems. That's Jackie Offin, David Muggeridge and Laura Upton are the speakers at that event. It's at the Innovation Centre Canterbury. That's on the campus of the University of Kent. It's on Thursday the 16th of February, and it's from 4:30 in the afternoon, and the event is free. So, cybercrime event.
This is a bit horrifying. The FSB have announced more bank branch closures, and it's something that's really upsetting me about the high street. HSBC has announced it will close a further 62 of its local branches, adding to a wave of branch closures by the big banks in recent years. FSB has expressed its disappointment with many smaller businesses unable to access the counter services they need, including basic functions such as deposit cash takings. And the FSB is continuing its hashtag Love Your Branch campaign to try to minimise the impact on small businesses.
It's dumb.
It's just crazy.
It's dumb. You know, there's a really simple solution to that. Really simple. It's that all the banks get together and have one branch.
Yeah, with a coffee shop in the middle, yeah, and a hairdresser.
It's just so simple. It's unbelievable. You know, they're just dumb.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on
banks.
Do
you know what? Me and the new husband went down to open a new account at NatWest, I think it was. And after that, we don't often get out together in the day and the week. And I said, oh, let's go for lunch. So, you know, and then we bought some stuff from the greengrocers. So we were supporting High Street. So
there you go.
It's all
right.
Help shape the 16 plus technical education system.
It's not your term, Paul.
It's not, obviously.
Still Jules's
the government,
term.
Yeah, yeah. The government is creating a new framework to transform college-based courses into high-quality technical education options. The Department of Education is seeking small business industry professionals to become panel members who will collectively be responsible for developing the standards for specific technical occupations and panel chairs. So if you'd like to get involved and have the needs of small business voice heard, contact the technical education panels of professionals by Feb 13th by going to publicappointments.cabinetoffice.gov.uk or again look on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Cool. The FSB and the Business Bunker, that's us, invite you to join us for some relaxed networking at the Secret Pantry in Tenterton High Street on February the 15th at 5:30 p.m. onwards. So do come along to that. There is a small charge, but there's loads of food and drink involved, so it is well worthwhile. If you want the details or to book your space, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/networking or hit the FSB tab, you will find the details there. The government are proposing changes to the MOT system. The Department for Transport is consulting on whether to change the date new vehicles require their first MOT.
Okay.
Currently, new vehicles need an MOT after 3 years. They're looking to change it to 4.
Well, I suppose cars are getting more modern, aren't they, and perhaps don't need it as much.
Absolutely.
Job figures are steady. The FSB has responded to the latest UK job figures, which show the employment rate has remained stable in the 3 months to November. The number of self-employed people has increased by 133,000 since this time last year, with the self-employed totalling 15% of all those in work. This correlates with our own research, they say, showing small businesses continuing to take on new staff.
Cool. I've had an email here, but it hasn't got the date on it again. You must put the dates on these things. The FSB, in association with Base Point Dartford, are pleased to invite you to a bi-monthly networking event, Women in Business. 10 a.m. arrival, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It doesn't matter because it doesn't know what date it's on. So the easiest thing to find that out is to go to the Kent Business Radio website, click on the FSB tab, and all the events for the FSB will be found there, and you will find the Women in Business event there under the FSB tab. And you've got time for one more, Jules.
Hashtag is Do It Digital. The FSB has helped to launch a new Do It Digital campaign this week, and they're pledging to get 1 million small businesses to do more online in 2017. Alongside organisations like the British Library, eBay and Google, we make 3 pledges to offer our new business profiling service to help members check and boost their digital presence and to roll out a free level of cyber insurance to all of our members later this year, building their confidence to do more online and to partner with Facebook. And there's another hashtag coming up. It's She Means Business campaign to help online women entrepreneurs. Paul.
Cool. And I think that brings us to the end.
Channel Radio News Update.
That brings us to the end of our Federation of Small Business News Update for another week. Victoria Jones, Hesketh Jones ED, has also, I did read this tweet out earlier, but she's put a link now to the virtual reality dementia thing I mentioned earlier. So cool. Do check that out. But we're at the end of another show. And it just leads me to tell you what's coming up the rest of the day on here on Channel Radio. At 5 o'clock we have...
You're listening to Craig Avery on Channel Radio.
Welcome aboard the new potato show.
It's going to play 2 things at once.
Was that Craig Avery and the new potato
show? It was. Why, I've no idea. But at 5 o'clock, we got Craig Avery show.
With his stripy socks.
2 hours of stripy socks, the ladies' favourite, interviewing celebrities and a mix of music. And then, as you heard, following on from that at 7 o'clock, 18 tracks of new, unsigned and up-and-coming music with Mr. Jamie Andrews on the New Potatoes show. And then at 9 o'clock, we have I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet.
Were you?
Yeah, our show featuring the year 1967. And then, of course, as always, on a Tuesday, we finish off with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George. One, two, three, get down!
Full drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as always on Channel Radio on a Tuesday night, we finish off with the Club Culture show with
Fabulous
Boy George
show.
At 10 o'clock. I just want to say a huge thank you to this week's show guests. We heard Vox Pop interview from the Video Impact Summit, Mr. Mike Hacker, affectionately known as Hacks, and Paul Blair from Spartan Retail. Thank
fabulous.
You to them. Thank you to our fabulous guests, reducing the Business Bunker to toilet humour, Tenterton Twilights, the fabulous cleaning company run by the lovely Laura Napper, and also the owner and perpetrator of Tenterton Loos, the lovely Twitter handle for
and
that.
And happy birthday.
Yeah, and a massive happy birthday for Thursday, Laura.
Sorry that Paul ate all your cake.
Yeah. A huge thank you to Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting.
Thank you.
And a brilliant insight into the world of virtual reality from Mr. Mark
yes,
Little.
Yes, another world yeah. he took us to.
So thank you all for joining us. Thank you to ZC Social Media for sponsoring this week's show. Thank you to all the people that emailed, tweeted, and got involved. We do appreciate it. We couldn't have a show without you.
Very busy Twitter today.
Very busy again. Over a trillion tweets
still
as normal.
Yeah. Still coming in.
So thank you all very much. The Listen Again will be up shortly. We will, of course, be back next week with another lineup of guests, presenters, and all kinds of things going on. So just to wish you all a fabulous and happy week. I hope everything works out for you really well next week. And you are able to join us next Tuesday at 1 o'clock. But you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. We will be back with another Business Bunker show in exactly 7 days.
Bye-bye. Time.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everyone.
We love you.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.